The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is on, and we thank you for listening. Today, we are tackling macular degeneration and diabetic retinopathy with guest expert Dr. Sandy Grizzard. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with 1,800 women, are supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic, community-based health safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The results? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families. And today, once again, I'm happy to present to you my good friend, Dr. Sandy Grizzard, who's a retina ophthalmologist. Sandy was born in Lakeland, Florida. He was graduated from Emory University and the University of Miami Medical School. He did his ophthalmology training at the University of South Florida and his retina fellowship training at the Catholic University in Nijmegen, the Netherlands, and at the University of California in San Francisco. Just last week, he also earned and graduated with a master's degree in economics from the University of South Florida. Dr. Grizzard has been awarded the only Lifetime Achievement Award by the American Society of Retina Specialists. He's a founding member and former president of this group. He has over 60 publications in refereed scientific journals and is one of the original authors on a paper about pneumatic retinopexy, a widely used office technique for repairing retinal detachments. Sandy is a founding partner in Retina Associates of Florida and practices in Tampa. Additional information is available at their website, retinaassociatesflorida.com. Sandy, it's great to have you here today.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Okay, so we've got two topics to cover. At least to try to cover, and let's begin with diabetic retinopathy. As many people know, one can go blind from diabetes. If a person has diabetes, how can they keep from going blind?
The main way to keep from going blind from diabetes is to have good control of your diabetes. The problem of diabetic retinopathy is just like the problem of other diabetic conditions, where the elevated blood sugar damages the blood vessels in the eye, and the damaged blood vessels lead to the blindness.
So tell me, we're focusing on diabetes damage to the retina. Can diabetes damage the retina in more than one way?
Yes. When it damages the blood vessels, it causes them either to close off and develop what we call ischemia, or areas of the retina where there is no blood supply, or they can leak. And if they leak, they cause swelling or macular edema or retinal edema. Most people lose central vision from macular edema, and that tends to be in the older age group of diabetics. The people who go blind from the ischemia and the complications of ischemia tend to be the younger diabetics, the type 1 diabetics.
And do we know what causes that, the disease pathology to veer one way versus the other? Or both. I guess some patients do have both.
Well, there was a huge controversy for many years about whether the blood vessel disease was related to control or whether the blood vessel disease was really independent of diabetic control. And there was a large debate in the literature for many years. But with several well-done studies, it's been shown that the elevated sugar in the blood causes damage to the blood vessels. The blood vessels can respond by leaking or by closing off. It actually damages, I don't want to get too technical here, but it damages the parasites in the blood vessels and causes them to close off and leak.
But it's not clear as to which phenomenon will occur in any particular patient.
It's not clear exactly why some go ischemic and some go leak, and many do both. I mean, it's not like you get one right or the other. It is true clinically that the younger people tend to get the ischemic problems, and the older people tend to get the leaking problems. But again, it's not completely clear cut.
And the reason I bring this up, of course, is because the ones that go ischemic or have poor blood perfusion are the ones that could wind up with glaucoma, with yet a second devastating potential disease.
Right. And again, if you're having serious ischemic problems in your eye from diabetes, you're also having severe ischemic problems in your legs, in your kidneys, in your heart.
The head-to-toe problem.
Head-to-toe problem, because it's an ischemic, it's a disease of blood vessels, it's not a disease of the eyes.
So then going back to the question, then if a listener has diabetes, how can they keep from going blind? Basically, diabetes management.
That's right. I always tell my patients there are three of us involved in keeping you from going blind. There's me, there's your internist or diabetic doctor, and most importantly, there's you, the patient, because if you're not willing to control your sugars, you're going to have a lot of trouble. And if you are, you're probably not going to have a lot of trouble. It's pretty much a one-to-one ratio. If you take care of yourself, you won't have problems.
And so what is a good marker that diabetics use to evaluate how well they've taken care of managing their sugar levels?
Well, the most important test for you to be aware of as a diabetic is what's called the hemoglobin A1C, or the glycosylated hemoglobin. This is a measure that we do with a blood test, and it measures the amount of hemoglobin in the blood that has sugar attached to it. If you have not diabetic or have good diabetic control, the amount of sugar attached to your hemoglobin is low. If you have bad control, then the amount of sugar attached to your hemoglobin is high. I tell my patients it's like a football game, that you can have a good play and still lose the game. So if you have a couple good blood sugars, that doesn't mean you're in control, but your hemoglobin A1C is really how you keep the score. And if you're not in good control, you should be having it at least measured every 3 months by the person taking care of your diabetes. And if you and your doctor can't get it down at least to 7 or below, you need to check with another doctor, go to a diabetic clinic. That will absolutely lead to serious medical problems if you don't control your blood sugars.
Let me take this moment to advise everybody out there with diabetes that are concerned about losing their vision or maybe have had blurry vision and want to speak to an expert to call right now. That's 289-1860 in Hillsborough County, 289-1860. And outside of Hillsborough County, it's toll-free 877-969-8600. So the glycosylated hemoglobin, or the hemoglobin A1C, gives the physician a feeling for how well the sugar has been controlled over a period of about
3 months.
3 months. Okay, so so that's an excellent way to get to assess how well the sugar has been controlled. Beautiful. And so let's talk about the two different types of diseases that can render the diabetic patient blind. Let's ask this. Is laser therapy an approach that is often used to treat diabetic disease in the retina?
Laser therapy has really been the standard treatment for diabetic retinopathy, both macular edema and the ischemic complications, for about 20 years. There was a big study done by the National Institute called the Diabetic Retinopathy Study, which showed that laser treatment for proliferative retinopathy or ischemic complications of diabetic retinopathy reduces the risk of blindness by about 50%. There's a second study about diabetic macular edema, which similarly showed that it reduces the risk of the risk of getting worse by about 50 or 60%, and actually increases the vision about 14% of the time.
So, and again, this is harkens back a little bit to an early discussion. So, in diabetes, in macular edema from diabetes, the swelling from these leaky blood vessels in the central part of the retina, which is responsible for central vision. Describe central vision for our patients as opposed to peripheral vision.
Well, the retina is constructed somewhat like a target. There's a bullseye, what we call the macula, and that's the area of fine vision. That's where the photoreceptors are most crowded and where the fine discerning vision that you have comes from that part of the retina. That's your reading vision, your driving vision. The peripheral vision is 95% of the retina is involved more with peripheral vision. And people with peripheral vision, even though they may not be able to see to read or drive, can still get around fine. These are people who function reasonably well. They just can't do fine visual tasks.
So a person has problems with swelling or leaky vessels. It's their central vision, as you mentioned, which predominantly will be involved. And the laser therapy has shown a decrease in the progression of that disease up to 50%.
Right. Laser treatment is good at decreasing the progression of visual loss and can also, in 14-15% of the patients, actually improve vision. There are some new treatments for macular edema where we're getting much better about improving vision. So that's a new exciting area.
And we'll talk about that in a little bit. One last thought before we go to a quick break. In the ischemic disease, ischemic diabetic retinopathy, where the vessels close off, listeners may be interested in knowing what happens to the retina such that they go blind. And you'd say that
the ischemia causes new blood vessels to grow into the eye. We call this proliferative retinopathy because new blood vessels are proliferating. And these new blood vessels cause hemorrhages, which fill the eye up with blood so you can't see. They cause retinal detachment, so it's a serious problem. There's been huge advances in treating proliferative retinopathy with laser and with a procedure called vitrectomy, where we actually go into the eye and take out the blood or take out the scar tissue. And these patients do far better than they did. When I started doing retina...
A few years ago.
More than 25. Our diabetic clinics were just a bunch of blind people, and that's not true anymore. Most of these people can be helped.
That's outstanding. It's very exciting, the progress here. Okay, we'll take a quick break and be right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
The first day of school. New clothes, new crayons and paper, new faces and old friends. But for 1.5 million homeless children in America and the working poor in our own community, it's just another day of lack. Not having the supplies, nourishment, and other items they need, leading to failure in school and the inability to escape poverty. You can make a difference. Call 888-276-3663 now and listen Wednesday afternoon at 3 as Talk Radio 860 partners with Feed the Children to provide back-to-school backpacks for needy kids in our community. Just $18 will provide a school-aged child in our area a backpack stuffed with school supplies, food, and personal hygiene items. But more than that, your gift of $18 will give that child what they need to succeed and the knowledge that someone cares. Call 888-276-3663 now to give. And for more information, log on to 860WGUL.com. This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with a doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And I might, for the benefit of all listeners out there, if you've got a question about macular degeneration, and here we're talking about diabetic retinopathy, do not wait till we start talking about macular degeneration to call in with your question. We will be pleased and look forward to answering all questions about macular degeneration and diabetic retinopathy during this hour. And once again, the phone numbers to call in Hillsborough County, 289-1860. That's 289-1860. And everywhere else outside of Hillsborough County, toll-free 877-969-8600. Okay, so I'm back with my special guest expert, Dr. Sandy Grizzard. We've been talking about, so far, diabetic retinopathy. And let's talk about, you intimated that there's some new treatments for diabetic eye disease. Let's talk a little about that.
Well, we'll get into a little bit more when we talk about macular degeneration, but one of the huge developments in retina care has been the development of anti-VEGF agents.
And what's VEGF?
VEGF is a chemical that the body makes that VEGF stands for vascular endothelial growth factor. The molecule was actually discovered earlier and was known as VPF, or vascular permeability factor. So VEGF or VPF, which is the same molecule, causes the blood vessels to leak and also causes new blood vessels to grow in the eye and other places. The original VEGF work was done about cancer.
Colon cancer, is that right?
Well, the drug is approved for colon cancer, but the fellow at, I think, Johns Hopkins was working on it as a way to treat all cancers, because for cancer to grow, it has to have blood vessels, and it puts out this molecule, VEGF, which causes the blood vessels to grow in the cancer. And Genentech, a drug company, developed this antibody to VEGF, which inhibits the growth of the cancer. And as a side project, they came up with the idea of injecting it into the eye, or a related molecule called Lucentis, into the eye. And it has had a miracle result, literally a miracle result. All these people used to go blind. Now 95% don't get worse after you start treatment.
Very exciting.
But to get back to diabetes.
And before we actually do that, we've got a caller on the line from Tampa. We have Faith. Faith, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you. My question concerns, well, let me put it this way. Recently, a new word came into my vocabulary, and that word is drusen.
Okay.
I would appreciate it if Dr. Grizzard would speak a little bit about drusen, what causes it, what is a prognosis for somebody that has this. And I don't know if this is applicable or not, but is there any research being done regarding the proliferation of drusen?
Okay, Sandy?
Drusen are little yellow spots in the retina. They, in some patients, they are a sign of macular degeneration. And depending upon the type of drusen, the size of drusen, we have soft drusen, hard drusen, small drusen, big drusen, which is fairly technical. But some drusen are an indicator of macular degeneration. The if you have a lot of drusen, or the type of drusen which suggests that you may have a trouble with macular degeneration, then it's probably a good idea to take some vitamins. There was a big study done by the National Eye Institute which compared vitamins and zinc to a placebo. And the group that got the vitamins or the zinc did better than the placebo group. And the group that got both vitamins and zinc did a whole lot better than the group that got the placebo. So there's, in one of those rare instances about vitamins, we actually have good scientific data to suggest that the taking of these vitamins and mineral supplements does benefit people who have moderately advanced macular degeneration. They also studied people who had no macular degeneration or minimal drusen. Again, I don't know how many drusen you have. It didn't seem to make, the vitamins didn't make much difference if you didn't have some level of macular degeneration.
When you say vitamins, what vitamins are you talking about?
The vitamins they used in the, what's called the AREDS, A-R-E-D-S study, age-related eye disease studies, what AREDS stands for. The vitamins they used were vitamin E, vitamin A, vitamin C, and a mineral called zinc.
What supplement do you recommend for your patients so they can not worry about getting, you know, each individual vitamin? Is there one supplement?
The people who made the vitamins that were used in the study was Bausch & Lomb, and they have a product called PreserVision.
Can you spell that?
PreserVision.
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 Oh, I see. Okay.
And you can buy it. It's over the counter. There are a lot of similar products that are probably a little bit cheaper, which are probably also effective, although we don't know that to be a fact. The one caution I have is that there are a lot of people who have glommed onto this and are making vitamins in their garage, and you might be a little careful about what you get. But if you can afford it, I'd stick with a drug
company.
One that's been proven, and one that's made by a reputable drug company.
So I guess it's important.
Faith, hang in there.
Okay.
We're going to a quick break. We'll be right back with
more of
your answers to your questions on this Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're tackling macular degeneration and diabetic retinopathy. Be right back.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. Divers have removed a piece of helicopter and a fourth body from the Hudson River today, and they're still searching for five other victims of yesterday's collision between a small plane and a sightseeing helicopter. Five Italian tourists were on the helicopter. The president's national security advisor says the U.S. is willing to hold direct talks with North Korea over its nuclear weapons if it resumes international negotiations. On the Sunday talk shows, James Jones said North Korea has indicated it wants better relations and long has sought one-on-one talks with the United States. Chinese state media is reporting a bomb threat on an airplane. Earlier, the Xinhua news agency reported it was a hijacking. Xinhua says it happened in a part of China where nearly 200 people were killed in ethnic rioting last month and more than 1,700 injured. Newly obtained records show a system that is supposed to help subway trains avoid crashes had malfunctioned months before the deadly Washington Metro crash.
Across America, people are standing up and speaking out against government control of our health care. And no wonder, since the Congressional Budget Office says the so-called health care reform will make health care even more expensive.
Giant government bureaucracy, it's not what the American people want.
Now, more than a million people have logged on to FreeOurHealthCareNow.com and signed our petition to prevent more government intervention in our health care. FreeOurHealthCareNow.com. From Talk Radio 860, WGUL.
America's digital goddess, Kim Komando here. It's back to school time, and you know what that means. A new desktop or laptop. Why buy one when you can win one? How? Enter my back to school giveaway. You can win a fabulous Sony Vaio desktop or notebook. For the kids, of course. Enter to win daily at school.komando.com. Once again, that's school.komando.com. Good luck.
Kim Komando, Sunday afternoon at 2 on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2009 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com, and if you have not found relief for your painful red dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We are tackling diabetic retinopathy and macular degeneration with guest expert Dr. Sandy Grizzard of the Retina Associates of Florida. And on the line is Faith. Faith is asking a question about drusen and retina disease. Faith, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. I have the impression that it depends on what type of drusen my husband has, whether this will lead to macular degeneration. Am I wrong in that or right?
A little oversimplified, but basically on the right track.
All right, so what he should do then is ask his doctor?
Well, he should. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to to step on you there. But what he should do is see an ophthalmologist who knows about macular degeneration.
Okay.
If it's not too bad, then he just needs to be followed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it progresses and sometimes it doesn't. If it progresses to some threshold that's been established by the ARED study, then it's reasonable to start taking vitamins. All right.
Okay.
There's really no other.
But there's nothing else that one can do.
Well, no, there have been a couple things that have been tried. There was a something called rheotherapy, which was kind of a chelation therapy that they would cleanse your blood for you. And there was a huge brouhaha about that about 10 years ago, and that's kind of died out. There was also the idea that you could laser the drusen, and that would be good. We found out that it was good for the doctor, but it wasn't too good for the patient. They tended to have a higher incidence of visual loss. So things have been tried, but really nothing other than the vitamins has shown to be helpful.
So what we're saying then, it sounds like, Sandy, correct me if I'm wrong, is that if your husband was told that he's got a few drusen, not to worry about it, then he shouldn't worry about it. But on the other hand, if his retina specialist, if he were to go to one, were to say, look, you have drusen, and it has met the threshold whereby you should start taking supplements. And then at that point, you should take it. Otherwise, you should not be concerned. Is that correct? Would that be correct?
Right. I think it's reasonable to take a multivitamin with some antioxidants, but it affects other aspects.
And met the threshold is how many drusen you have. Is that correct?
It's the size of drusen, the number of drusen, whether there's pigment there.
It's a number of more esoteric or
It's sort of a something you need to study the original study.
Okay, so then I guess I'll tell him that he should ask his doctor just what type of drusen he has, and then go from there.
Right, and has he reached the threshold where he needs supplements? That's the key question.
Okay.
Has he reached the threshold?
Okay, I thank you very much. And I'm enjoying the show.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, so we were talking about VEGF.
Right.
And the impact on patients with, I guess, both macular degeneration and diabetic retina disease.
Well, that's right. We're very excited about macular degeneration. And then doctors started injecting it in eyes that had, because we knew about the vascular permeability factor effect of the anti-VEGF, and lo and behold, we discovered it has a huge positive effect on diabetics, both for the macular edema and the neovascularization process, has a huge effect on stopping bleeding in the eye. It's really been quite an unintended outcome of the anti-VEGF research, so it's very useful in both macular degeneration, macular edema, proliferative retinopathy, something called central vein occlusion, actually some forms of glaucoma. It's really been a miracle drug.
And now, as far as the diabetic retinopathy and the go back to diabetic retinopathy, how frequently do these patients need to be treated with the VEGF?
Well, again, that's something that's in development right now.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we usually like to do is do some laser because that's permanent, often solves the problem. We don't have to go to the next step. Although in the original use of the anti-VEGF drugs, we always did it after the laser. Now we've sort of seen how effective it can be, and we're starting to use it either coincident with or instead of the laser. The laser has some side effects. It causes some damage to the retina. It can cause visual loss.
Mm-hmm.
The VEGF seems to be much safer. The problem with the VEGF is you have to keep getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're coming into the doctor every 4 to 6 weeks to get a shot in your eye, which is a problem. But if it keeps you from going blind, it's a small problem.
That's right. And the injection is done in the exam room?
Right. We have the patient take antibiotics for the day before, the day of. We put an antiseptic on the eye called providine iodine and inject with an ultrafine needle. Most patients don't even need any anesthesia other than the drops. A few patients are sensitive to the pain, and we can numb up the eye completely with an anesthetic injection so they don't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a quick, safe, and simple thing to do.
So theoretically, they can come in during a lunch break, if there's someone there to do it, and go back to work in the afternoon?
Absolutely. We have patients who have We don't, if you come in for the injection, we don't even dilate your eye. We have you walk in the door, take a vision, give you a shot, and you walk out. We have patients who have only one eye, and they get the shot in one eye and drive home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less debilitating in terms of vision than a regular ophthalmology visit.
And if your retina doctor advised you to have this, that you, one would need this, then it doesn't matter if you have a cataract or if you've had a cataract removed. The status of the patient's lens does not impact the decision to go ahead and receive this therapy if it's medically indicated?
Absolutely not. And there have been large numbers of studies. It doesn't make cataracts worse. So, mm-hmm. No, it's a miracle treatment. I don't know how else to say it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very exciting for our listeners to hear. And so let's see. What let's go over to macular degeneration. Let's talk about Faith called earlier asking about drusen. And is drusen traditionally considered the dry form of macular degeneration?
Right. The dry form of macular degeneration includes drusen and pigment changes in the back of the eye. Most people with dry macular degeneration see well, don't have a real problem. Usually may need a little more light to read, a little more magnification, still able to drive and do most everything they would normally do, maybe have a little more trouble doing it. But they function normally or near normally.
Mm-hmm.
About 2% of the people who have the dry will lose significant vision from what we call geographic atrophy or extensive atrophy in the back of the eye. That's unusual, but it does happen. Most people lose vision from macular degeneration when the dry form becomes wet. What that is...
I was going to say, before we go there, though, is it understood what causes the drusen to evolve into this large area of atrophy?
It's not clear. There are some genetic forms of macular degeneration that run in families that we know there's some genetic component to it.
But it's not known to be like an ischemic phenomenon that occurs?
There was a time when it was thought to be ischemic. I don't think that's – most people believe that now.
So I'm wondering, have people looked at doing the VEGF inhibitors in dry macdegen when it is showing signs of evolving into this atrophic state?
It doesn't seem to have any effect on the progression of dry. There are many studies being done, some very interesting studies. One company is putting pigment epithelial cells in an isolated chamber, implanting it into the eye, and letting the factors that are made mm-hmm. by the implanted pigment epithelium is supposed to be impacting the dry macular degeneration, or retinitis pigmentosa for that matter. The problem with coming up with a treatment for dry macular degeneration is it's going to be a huge study. Mm-hmm. The disease progresses slowly. How exactly to measure progression of the disease to see whether the treatment has any impact is going to be a huge
It's so variable.
And it takes place over such a long period of time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very difficult study to do well.
Let's convert over to the wet macular degeneration. What is... describe for our listeners, if you would, what makes macular degeneration wet versus dry?
Well, first thing you have is the dry macular degeneration. About 10% of people with dry macular degeneration will go on and develop wet macular degeneration. And wet macular degeneration is usually what causes the central visual loss that we see in macular degeneration. Exactly why these blood vessels grow in, it's not clear. Some people think it's a breakdown of the physical barrier caused by the drusen. Other people think it's a biochemical thing. Clearly, VEGF is involved in some way, probably some other chemicals. It used to be once you started getting wet macular degeneration, we would try laser, which generally didn't do much. There was even a big study by the National Institute where they would laser the whole central retina and thoughts of keeping them from getting worse blindness instead of
minimal blindness,
yeah. But that never really caught on. The first really new treatment was something called photodynamic therapy, which was a drug called Visudyne, and it had slightly better results than the laser. And then there was a drug called Macugen, which was the first anti-VEGF drug. And it had an effect, and it had very few side effects, which was really the good thing about the Macugen. And then really kind of out of nowhere, Genentech came up with this drug. And I've heard, actually, I'd like to put a plug in for Napoleon Ferraro. I think he ought to win the Nobel Prize, but that's between you and me. The Napoleon came up with this drug that was an antibody to the VEGF molecule. And I am told, I wasn't there, but I'm told at the first meeting when they first tried it in patients, the doctors couldn't believe the data. It was so good. I mean, we're talking 40% of people see a lot better, 75% of people see some better, and 95% of people don't get worse. And this is in a disease that before was pretty much universal blindness. So, I mean, this has just been a huge thing for macular degeneration patients. And we didn't have any clue at the time, but also for diabetic patients.
And so presently, the latest generation that is being used is the Avastin or Lucentis?
Well, they're related drugs. Avastin is actually a cancer drug. It's approved for treatment of cancer. Lucentis is the drug that was designed for injection into the eye. Originally, once this data started to be presented, Lucentis wasn't available because of the FDA. And some doctors said, well, let's try the Avastin, which is really a cancer drug. And lo and behold, if you just take your bottle of Avastin and shoot a little bit into the eye, it has very similar effect. There's currently a study going on by the National Institute called the CAD, which is comparing the use of Avastin and Lucentis. Avastin has some troubles with inflammation, and what I call the pharmacy risk is that because you're aliquoting another bottle, there's risk that the pharmacist might, one, confuse drugs. Drug medication errors are a huge problem in medicine. And two, that you might get contaminated during. So I tend to prefer Lucentis. The problem, of course, with Lucentis is it's very expensive. And if you have good insurance, that's not an issue. But if you don't, then we discuss the pros and cons of both drugs. And I mean, I think Avastin works in a lot of people. There's no question about it. It does seem to have a few more problems. But if you can't afford Lucentis, then it's better, certainly better than nothing.
Now, they're both made by the same company?
That's right. Genentech, which is recently bought out by Roche in Switzerland. Genentech's really quite a company. They've come up with some really good treatments, and they're really at the in the forefront of this new generation of pharmaceuticals where you have targeted pharmaceuticals.
So at present time, you're using Lucentis on your patients with wet macular degeneration where anti-VEGF inhibitor is required. Or needed.
We usually prefer to use Lucentis, although mm-hmm. we have many patients who get Avastin.
Mm-hmm.
The information about Lucentis is so much more robust than the information about Avastin that we know a lot more about it. It tends to be, I think there's less risk of systemic effects as well because it's such a small molecule. And we have less inflammatory reactions with Lucentis than Avastin. Mm-hmm. But I don't fault anyone who uses Avastin.
Mm-hmm. So they're both being used around the country?
Both being used. Last time I talked with somebody from Genentech, they thought that about 50% of doctors were primarily using Lucentis and 50% were primarily using Avastin.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but once again, call in with questions. We have one more segment. We're at 289-1860 in Hillsborough County. Elsewhere, toll-free 877-969-8600. Be back in a flash.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. Who's telling the true story of what's happening inside the Obama White House? Well, don't expect to get it in the mainstream media. You ought to be reading Michelle Malkin's brand new book, Culture of Corruption. It's all about the team of influence peddlers, some tax evaders, and the cronies who surround President Obama. It's an amazing book. And you can get that book free when you subscribe to Town Hall Magazine, where thoughtful conservatives get stories every month you can't find anywhere else. For Michelle Malkin's new book, free with your subscription, go to townhallmagazine.com. That's townhallmagazine.com.
I'm Tom Jackson, a columnist for the Tampa Tribune and TBO.com, and now host of the Jax Files Weekend. Every Saturday morning at 11, you'll hear an hour of reflections and analysis on the previous week's upheavals in the news, politics, society, and culture, from the viewpoint of a conservative's conservative. We'll bring you the right stuff.
The Jax Files Weekend with Tom Jackson. Saturday mornings at 11 on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Today has been Retina Day. We are discussing macular degeneration and diabetic retinopathy. And my guest expert has been Dr. Sandy Grizzard of the Retina Associates of Florida. And on the line is Midge. Midge, welcome to the Focus on Females Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you.
And now, are you a patient of
Dr. Grizzard?
Okay. Tell us what your retina problem has been.
Well, my vision began to fade just before Christmas three and a half years ago, and I really became very alarmed about it because it proceeded rather quickly.
Is this both eyes, Midge, or one eye?
The one eye is hopeless. It's
okay.
It's already blinded pretty much, but it was my right eye that I was using to read, and I love to read.
Okay,
and so. We went down to see, made an appointment with Sandy, mm-hmm. and went in to see him, and he said, well, I think we can help you with inoculations. We have this marvelous drug. And so I have been going to him for over three years.
Well, tell Midge, before you go there, what was the diagnosis? What was the problem that Dr. Grizzard explained to you?
Well,
you
macular degeneration
okay.
was the problem.
Okay, so Sandy, she had the wet form of macular degeneration?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and she was already legally blind when we first saw her.
In that eye, and she already lost
the other
eye.
Well, she was blind in the other eye and then blind in her good second eye. So
mm-hmm.
She was pretty far along.
Okay.
Oh, it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
It went so fast, you know, it progressed so fast.
Is that typical for, wet macular degeneration? I guess the process is not quick, but once it starts to leak, I guess the impact on vision can be quite abrupt.
Yeah, once it goes from dry to wet, you can suddenly lose vision.
Okay. So go ahead, Ridge. Tell us.
It was marvelous. It was like the injections helped tremendously, and it was like a miracle because I'm a very satisfied customer, as you can tell.
Yeah, that's good.
So my vision started coming back.
Well, that's,
I am now, I think, 2025, I believe,
in that eye,
which is tremendous.
Oh, from being blind.
Actually, I could drive, you know, with one eye blind even, I could
drive.
Yes. But this induced me to give up driving because it isn't a well-rounded picture of what goes on, you know.
Well, so this was first recognized about 3.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you went in, saw Dr. Grizzard. He diagnosed the problem, wet macular degeneration. 3.5 years ago, did you go right to Avastin at that point, or VEGF inhibitor, or did you do laser? Do you remember your approach with Midge?
The drug that was just coming into the market, they had done word testing, and so I went into that testing group, and it really was tremendous. I'm sorry, I can't call the name. I'm 89 years old.
Oh, you sound wonderful.
But it was just like a miracle, truly.
So did you have any laser? Do you recall?
Later on, I had a little laser.
Okay. And how frequently have you needed to receive your injections?
Once a month.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, this shows that you can receive these monthly injections over the course of, certainly more than a year. And
yeah, it's about 3 years.
Okay.
I think Midge has had 36 or 37 injections.
Okay, and that's held her. Now, we didn't have a chance today to talk about diagnostic and some of the diagnostic technologies that really enable you to get quite sophisticated views of the retina where it potentially leaks and so forth. So... and so the fact that she's been able to take this medication now for years, injections, and continue to do well suggests that even with the most sophisticated instrumentation shows that her disease is being held at bay.
Yes.
Yes.
She's doing great.
Thank you, Sandy. You're doing great, too. Thank you.
Now, Midge, before we go, is there any other points you'd like to make, or Sandy, any points on Midge's case before we have to run?
The one thing I'd like to say is, that if anyone listening in feels a slippage in their vision and it's going fast, give your doctor a call, mm-hmm. and go and see him immediately. Don't postpone it because it just gets worse and worse, and it gets past helping. Sandy got me just in time, I think. He's done wonders with it.
Excellent. Okay. Go ahead, Sandy.
Just in the truth in radio, I guess, Midge is actually the mother of my partner.
Mm-hmm. But that Mark didn't want to treat me, and so Sandy volunteered. Wasn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she knows me so well by the first name. But she's my partner's mother, and often patients want to know, how would you treat your mother? And the answer is, we treat you like we treat Midge.
Excellent.
Beautifully. And I assign the role when I go in. I'm a grandmother many times, and I signed Grandmother Hammer, and they all know me. They call me Grandma Hammer.
Midge, thank you so much for calling in. We've got to run.
Lovely talking to you.
Thank you, Sandy. I want to thank you as being my guest expert today. Next week on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, we're going to tackle childhood obesity with guest expert Dr. Frank Diamond of Old Children's Hospital in St. Pete, Florida. That's childhood obesity next Sunday in the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. This is Steve Maskin signing off, wishing each and every one of you a great week. See you next week.
Bye.